Beacon Hill congregation, Brother Ben Ayati, who would like to speak to us on the theme, the Messiah's presence and his rule. Please let us give him some attention. Brother Ayati.
Back in 1980, there was the headline in the Financial Post of Toronto that reads, "World in Need of a Messiah." Let's fast forward it to 2021. What do you think the headline will read? Well, now we really need a Messiah, don't we? Desperately. But what kind of Messiah was that quote talking about? Well, the quote was asking for a charismatic, political, and scientific or religious leader who will rescue mankind from the social and economic chaos at that time. And we will say that nothing has changed today, has it? If anything, things have gotten worse. And obviously, world leaders offer no solutions to the problems we face. And there is no one on the horizon that can solve these problems. But the Bible, however, points to a Messiah who is a basis for a real hope for all of us. But the question is, what is the Messiah? Or what is a Messiah? In the Bible times, Israel's kings and priests were anointed to confirm their position to either rule or to be a high priest. For example, Saul was anointed by Samuel to become the king of Israel. So we can say he was set apart to become a ruler to rule in Jehovah's, the nation of Israel. Also, high priest Aaron was anointed to install him to become the high priest of the nation. Jehovah God, our sovereign ruler, knew that we needed a Messiah. And this he prophesied in Genesis. Please take your Bibles with me and let's turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. When pronouncing sentence on the serpent, this is what Jehovah said. He said, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head, and you will strike him in the heel." So Jehovah here prophetically described how an offspring, or if you look at the footnote, a seed will undo all the damage that Satan has caused. That one will be the Messiah. This will mean an ultimate blessing for all mankind, real deliverance. So as centuries passed, Jehovah provided clues as to who this Messiah would be. And the evidence clearly pointed to Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, as the Messiah. But the question is, what proof do we have to say that Jesus Christ is that Messiah? And how can recognizing that fact benefit you and I eternally? First, let's consider some proof. Considering the vital role of the Messiah, we can appreciate that Jehovah God would logically provide definite clues to assist watchful and faithful ones to be able to identify the Messiah. For example, when a government sends someone to become an ambassador to any country, for say Canada, for example, this person doesn't just show up and say, hey, I'm the ambassador. No, he comes with credentials that prove that, yes, he is the ambassador representing that country here. Similarly, Jesus, we need to have some credentials to show that, yes, he is the promised Messiah. And there are scores of prophecies that points to Jesus as that Messiah. We don't have time to consider them all. So let's consider two. One is his lineage, and two, his appearance in the world seen as the Messiah. Throughout the Bible, we just read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, Jehovah promising a seed that will undo the works of the devil. And Jehovah promised Abraham that by means of his offspring, the nations will bless themselves. Jehovah went on to bless Isaac, make that promise to him, Jacob, and Judah. Now, during the time of David's reign, Jehovah reiterated that promise. Let's read that together in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we will read verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 7, let's look at verses 12 and 13. Jehovah here says to David, when your days come to an end and you are laid to rest with your forefathers, then I will raise up your offspring after you, your own son. I will firmly establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will firmly establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So Jehovah made this promise to David. Well, would that promised son be Solomon? After all, he built the temple. Some may say yes, and that applied to him. But this scripture applies more than just Solomon. Why do we say that? Notice the scripture mentioned in verse 12, I will firmly establish his kingdom. And verse 13, I will firmly establish the throne of his kingdom for how long? Forever. Solomon isn't ruling forever, see? So this points to someone other than Solomon. And when Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, describing the lineage of Jesus, notice what he says there. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. He says there, the book of the history of Jesus Christ. Notice, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Here is the son that Jehovah, all through the years, have promised that will undo the works of the devil, Jesus Christ himself. So by lineage, he proved to be the promised Messiah. And these claims were widely made before 70 CE, when the genealogical records were still available. So with such an important issue as the lineage of the Messiah, you would think Jesus' contemporaries would have wanted to verify and check to make sure, yes, this man is what he said he is. Yet none of Jesus' enemies ever challenged his lineage, proving that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Let's look at our second point, the time when Jesus appeared as the Messiah. And to do that, let's turn to our Bibles to Daniel. Daniel chapter 20, chapter 9, please. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27 discusses the appearance of the Messiah. But let's focus now on verse 25. It mentions there, you should know and understand that from the issuing of the word to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the leader, there will be 7 weeks, also 62 weeks. She will be restored and rebuilt with a public square and moat, but in times of distress. So there are key points in this scripture that we need to think of. One is when the word went forth to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. And what is that 7 weeks and 69 weeks? Well, first, this 62 and 7 comes to 69 weeks. And these weeks are weeks of years. So they come up to 483 years. So we've got that time span. But now, when did the word to go forth and rebuild Jerusalem went forth? According to Nehemiah chapter 2, this happened in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when Nehemiah was asked to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And historical evidence shows that the 20th year of King Artaxerxes is 455 BCE, as we can see on the chart we have on the screen. So now we have the starting point, 455 BCE. We have the length of time, 483 years. Counting from 455 BCE, that brings us to 29 CE. What happened in 29 CE? Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized, anointed as God's messianic king. So here again, the proof is there for us. Thank you, brothers, for the picture that Jesus is the promised Messiah. But if Jesus was truly that Messiah, how come that most people rejected him? You may ask. Well, because evidence, as important as it is to genuine faith, does not guarantee faith. People believe what they want to believe. Why do we say that? Well, the Jewish nation at that time was expecting a conquering hero, one that would deliver them from Roman oppression. And they believed that Jesus or the Messiah would usher in his messianic age at that time, bring them peace and rest. But that's not what happened. Even Jesus' disciples had that misconception. We can read that in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. This is the question they asked Jesus after they have assembled together. They said to him, "Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?" So even Jesus' disciple had a thinking that he will restore the kingdom at that time. So the nation rejected Jesus because of their own ideas of what the Messiah was supposed to be. We can illustrate it this way. You know, you talk to someone on the phone, but never met the person. What do we tend to do? We form an image of what the person looks like, don't we? Maybe we think he's 6 feet tall, blonde, blue eyes, right? And then you meet the person face to face. He said, well, that's not what I thought the person looked like, right? That's because we have formed our own image of what the person should look like. And that is what happened to the nation of Israel. They had their own idea of what the Messiah would be. And so they rejected Jesus. And Jesus, even dying on the torture stake, even made things worse. Well, how can the Messiah, the one who is supposed to save us, die on a torture stake in a humiliating way like that? Yet they forgot that the scriptures indicate that the Messiah would have to die. Even the prophecy we read in Daniel proves that. But what about us? How would this affect us? When on earth, Jesus' disciples asked him in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Let's take our Bibles and turn there together. This is a question they ask him. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Notice the question they asked him. They said, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your presence and of the conclusion of the system of things? So let's just think the theme of our talk, the Messiah's presence and his rule. So here now, the disciples were asking Jesus, what are the signs of your presence? What is that presence? Well, if you go to the study notes, it helps us to understand what that presence will be. It says there, partway through the description, it says, it refers to a presence covering a period of time rather than simply a coming or an arrival. So Jesus' disciples were asking, what time period would be your presence? To help us understand that, let's turn to Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39. Matthew 24, 37 to 39. And see the comparison between Jesus' presence and the time of Noah. For just as the days of Noah were, so the presence of the Son of Man will be. For as they were in those days before the flood, eating and drinking, men marrying and women being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they took no note until the flood came and swept them all away. So the presence of the Son of Man will be. So did you notice that? Noah's day wasn't just the flood, was it? No. Noah's day begins with him building the ark, Jehovah giving him that assignment. For decades, he was doing that work, preaching to the people at that time. And his day culminated with the destruction of that world. Jesus is saying that his presence will be similar. Well, would his presence be seen by all? Remember, Jesus indicated that his presence would be invisible. For example, let's turn to John chapter 14 and verse 19. John chapter 14 and verse 19. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, in a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live and you will live. You notice that the world will see Jesus no more. So how would they see him in his presence then? His disciples, he revealed himself to his disciples after his resurrection. So they saw him, and they will see him when they are resurrected to heaven to rule with him, but not the world. When Jesus was ascending to heaven, the angel mentioned something that can help us understand what Christ's presence will be like. Please turn to Acts. Acts chapter 1. First, we will read verse 9. Verse 9 says, after he had said these things, while they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud caught him up from their sight. And then verse 11 says, the angel appeared to them and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who was taken up from you into the sky will come in the same manner as you have seen him going into the sky. So the clouds, Jesus being caught up in the clouds, suggests invisibility. If we can have our next image, we can illustrate it with this picture. You know, when the plane takes off in a cloudy day, we see, but once it goes through the clouds, we don't see it anymore. But we can still feel the presence of the plane by the roaring engine that we hear. Similarly, Jesus' presence, while invisible, can be perceived by those with keen insight into God's word, the Bible. Jesus gave us signs that will help us to see that he is in his presence, as we can read in Matthew chapter 24. And so this helps us to see that while his presence is invisible, we can still see the signs. And evidence clearly shows that Jesus' presence started in 1914. So the Messiah now is enthroned. His kingdom rules. But someone will say, well, if the Messiah is ruling, how come we still have problems on the earth today? Well, we have to understand that his long-awaited messianic age is still in the future. Let us illustrate it this way. You know, when the election takes place and one government is voted out and a new government is coming in, there's usually a transition period, is there not? While the new government is working in the background, maybe selecting its cabinets and putting their plans into place, the old government is still ruling up to a certain point. Similarly, even though Jesus Christ is ruling from heaven, we are in that transition phase. He's working in the background. Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2 says, he will rule in the midst of his enemies. And he's directing a global preaching work today. Can you imagine the work we do as Jehovah's people without the help from him? We know that. Have confidence that he is directing the work. And soon he will destroy all the enemies of the Messiah. He will settle once and for all time the issue that was raised by Satan the devil about God's moral right to exercise universal sovereignty. And he will undo all the problem that has resulted from Satan's rebellion. After that, he ushered in his messianic age. So Christ's presence does affect us, doesn't it? He is directing the work today. He's using the faithful slave to direct us into his righteous new world. And soon we will find the benefit of that kingdom. What are some of the benefits? Let's please turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. First, let's look at verses 1 to 5. Some of the qualities of the Messiah or our reigning King Christ Jesus. It mentions there in verse 2 that the Spirit of Jehovah will settle upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of mightiness, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. What qualities? For example, if we think of the Spirit of counsel and mightiness, Jehovah's Spirit helped Jesus perform many powerful works when he was on earth, didn't he? He cured the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, and resurrected the dead. Here's something we can look forward to in the future. These are the things that our Messiah would do for us. He will judge with fairness, as in verse 4 mentions. What a righteous king is going to be for us. What are the other benefits? Well, let's look at verse 6 to 9. It says that the wolf will reside for a while with the lamb, and with the young goat, the leopard will lie down, and the calf and the lion and the fattened animal all will be together, and the little boy will lead them. The cow and the bear will feed together, and their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the bull. The nursing child will play over the lair of a cobra, and the winged child will put his hand over the den of a poisonous snake. They will not cause any harm or any ruin in all my holy mountain, because the earth will be certainly be filled with the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters are cover the sea. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what to look forward to? But notice the scripture said, this will be done because of the knowledge of Jehovah. And animals are not inclined to learn about Jehovah, are they? So this is having spiritual fulfillment even today. Humans that have beast-like qualities have changed, and they become peaceful with one another. And yes, we can look forward to the literal fulfillment of this in the future. And then verse 10, let's read that as well. It says there that in that day, the root of Jesse will stand up as a signal for the peoples, to him the nations will turn for guidance, and his resting place will become glorious. Yes, with the great educational work which is already begun and carried out by Jehovah's Witnesses in over 240 lands, Christ in kingly power is standing up, as we see there, as a signal, and the people in all the nations are streaming to him. Yes, he is the real Messiah. Christ's presence and kingly power is not a remote theoretical affair or merely a subject being debated by theologians. No. Jesus' rule touches each and every one of us today, and the same thing will happen in the future. So the question is, friends, have you responded to the messianic signal? by embracing the kingdom hope. If you are new here, we encourage you to continue studying God's word, the Bible. Continue to attend the meetings. Associate with the brothers and sisters to fortify your faith in the Messiah and his rule. And what about us, those who have been serving Jehovah for a while? Well, may we continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always having plenty to do in the work of the Lord. Yes, may we continue doing this until the Messiah triumphs to God's eternal glory and to our everlasting good.